Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of What's It Like, where I talk with folks from all over about all different kinds of experiences and what it was like for them. My usual disclaimer, this is one person's story of what this experience was like for them. Other people could have very different stories to tell out of this experience, and that's okay. We're just getting one person's window into what this looked like for them in their lives. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to welcome our guest for today. Thank you for joining us, Shelley.
Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. So go ahead and tell me in a sentence or two, what is the experience that you want to share with our listeners today?
Well, I have an interesting story, and what's crazy is my story has catapulted me into my career, which was never on the horizon for me. So, give you a little backstory. In 2014, my husband on Super Bowl Sunday had a massive heart attack, and we thought he had the flu. Long story short, he had 100% blockage in one of his arteries, and they call it the widowmaker artery because you don't feel the signs. Like you don't have standard, like your arm doesn't go numb, your chest doesn't hurt in the beginning. And so a lot of people die from it because they don't have those signs and don't know that there's anything wrong. We were very blessed because it was Super Bowl Sunday, so we were both home. I mean, had he been like in his truck working, he's a contractor, and if he had been on a weekday in his truck, he probably wouldn't be here today because he would not have paid attention to his body. He would have been wrapped up in work. And so God is good. And we knew at that very, or I knew at that very moment when he did get a second chance at life that what we were eating had to change immediately. And so when I got on Google, I became obsessed with trying to clean up our diet. And yeah, I didn't like what I was reading. I thought it was very contradictory. So that just pushed me into a mission of just learning nutrition. So 3 years later and two nutrition schools later, my husband is a complete bill of health, but I became so passionate about it that I started helping other people and just teaching people simple ways to eat a little healthier so that they can either, if they have something going on in their body and they want to try to fix it through food, or if they want to lose weight, whatever the case may be, or if they just want to clean up their way that they eat and their eating habits. My approach is very different than most. I try to keep it very simple and doable, and all of my recipes are delicious. And so I just try to make eating healthy fun. I feel like it's so sciencey, and there's so many rules attached to healthy eating and dieting. And I just want to get rid of all of that and just get back to the basics of eating real whole foods and just educating people in a fun way on how they can eat a little healthier so they can feel their best.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of big picture story where we're going. We're going to dig into the details a little bit.
Yay. Okay, good.
So let's start with the heart attack. So tell me about that day, about when you noticed something was wrong, and whether you or he were the one who was like, I think we need to go to the hospital. Like what, tell me what that was like.
Yeah, so it's so weird. My husband is super, super laid back. So imagine Matthew McConaughey's accent with like a super chill dude. Like that's my husband. And so he comes to me in the morning after breakfast and he's like, "Hey, babe, I don't feel very good." And my husband never says that. Like he's the guy who will cut his finger off at work and just say, "Hey, I got a cut." And so when he said he didn't feel good, I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" And you know, mom mode instantly starts thinking, "Oh my gosh, what's wrong? What are you doing? How can I fix it?" And he said, "Well, I'm real sweaty and I'm kind of achy." And I said, "Oh my gosh, I bet you have the flu." Because this was, you know, February, and flu was really bad in 2014. And I was like, "I bet you have the flu. Let's get to the doctor." And it's a Sunday, so we couldn't just go to the doctor. But it wasn't something serious enough where we thought we needed to go to the hospital. So we went to one of those doc-in-the-box places. We live in Texas, and there's these places called Care Now. And so we went to a Care Now, but it took us 3 hours to get in because the flu was so bad that year. And by the time we got there, my husband was not feeling good and he was pouring in sweat, but he still didn't have like the achy arm or anything like that. So when we finally got in the room with the nurse, she said, "Mr. Loving, do you have any chest pain?" And my husband said, "Well, yeah, kinda." And I looked at my husband and I said, "What? Where did this come from?" He said, "Well, it has been 3 hours." I was like, "This is true." So they hooked him up to an EKG and he was having a massive heart attack. So they got the ambulance and we get in the ambulance and I'm sitting in the front seat with the driver and the guy's in the back and hooks my husband up to the EKG machine. And there's a little window between the driver's seat and the back where my husband is on the gurney. And the guy with my husband leans into the little hole and tells the driver, he said, "We need to go code three." And you and I probably don't know what code three is, but I knew what code three meant. You know what I mean? Like,
something.
So we went lights and sirens to the ER, and it was just like you would imagine, like those ER shows on TV where 10 nurses have their hands up in the air with gloves and scrubs on, and they're waiting on you at the sliding door. It was one of those situations. And so they got us in there, and within 16 minutes, my husband was having a stent put in his 100% blocked artery. Yeah. At 41.
That's real scary.
Right. And I was in shock, you know, and the surgery took an hour. We were at halftime in the football game at this point. And the surgeon comes out and he grabs my shoulders and looks me right in the eye. And he said, "Mrs. Loving, your husband is a very lucky man." And I just lost it, started bawling, you know, I was in shock. And so when we got home is when it hit me. It's like, what were we doing wrong? What could we have done better? How can we fix this? Because I'm, you know, as females, as Mother Nature, we're fixers. We want to fix things. We want to heal people. We want people to feel good. And so I felt like it was my mission to help him heal. So I started with food.
Yeah. Would you have, you know, we all have intentions of living healthily and eating healthily. How would you have before this? How would you have classified the way you ate?
That's a great question. We were probably middle of the road. Okay. Did we eat fast food every day? No. My husband and I, neither one of us are overweight by any means. But I cooked some and we ate out some, but it wasn't top of mind. If I wanted a Coke, I had one. If I wanted fried chicken, I ate it. So I would say we were middle of the road for sure.
Okay. So when you first started looking at this and looking at, I'm really fascinated by this. You talked at the beginning about all the conflicting information, and there are diet suggestions everywhere you look. So when you first started looking, where were you looking? How did you decide what information to prioritize? How did this search begin for you?
I used my common sense. So I started with heart healthy diet, you know, and I kind of went down that rabbit hole for a while. And a lot of the information was good. Some of it was contradictory. So one website would say, or one doctor would say, eat this. And the other doctor would say, well, don't eat that. It causes inflammation. And I'm like, what in the world? Where do I even start? And so I noticed on a very large nonprofit organization that I'll remain nameless in the heart arena. They suggested a diet that included foods that are actually not good for the heart. And then I found out that those foods are sponsors of this nonprofit.
Oh.
So I was thinking, oh my gosh, how do I even get truthful information and who do I trust? And so I went with my gut and trusted myself. And so I just started cleaning up our foods, you know, the obvious, take the fried food out and take the, you know, fast food out and drink more water and eat more vegetables. So I did those common things, but then it just made me more curious. Like I started feeling a little better myself and I didn't even know that I was sick. So I thought, oh my gosh, now I'm on a mission. So that's when I stumbled across the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and they have a really, really great school, but they have a good broad approach. So they focus on whole health. They do mental and spiritual and food and relationships, and they build that whole and kind of teach us as health coaches, is what they're training people to do, is to teach people how to live a balanced life in all areas. When I was done with that school, I had a yearning for more food knowledge than it offered. And so that's when I stumbled upon the Academy of Culinary Nutrition. And that's where my heart exploded, because that's where I got down to the meat, no pun intended, of what I was trying to accomplish. And that was to really help my husband and myself feel our best and clean up the foods that we ate in a holistic approach without being crazy and making it doable.
Yeah. So yeah, tell me a little bit about that. Like, what were some of the things that you learned that resonated as being doable? What were some of the things that you were able to make changes to with that, that you had not had information about before?
Wow. So the biggest one, and it is really the pillar in which I built my business, because it so strongly affects how we directly feel, and that's inflammation. So something that I learned in the Academy of Culinary Nutrition is how inflammation is the root of most disease. What happens is our bodies, when they, so there's two different types of, if I'm getting too geeking, if I geek out on you, just tell me to stop. Because I try to keep it super,
great for this.
Super simple, but yeah. Inflammation, there's two types. So you have acute inflammation, which is when you sprain an ankle and it swells up, which is the good inflammation. That's our body trying to heal itself, which is great. But there's also something called chronic inflammation. And that's when our body is in this chronic fight to fight off the inflammation that our body has. And this kind of inflammation is caused by stress, poor diet, lack of sleep, toxins in the air, things like that. So everybody is chronically inflamed, but it's our duty to help get that chronic inflammation down. And what happens is over time, our body gets in this chronic state of inflammation and it raises this giant white flag and it surrenders and it says, I can't do this anymore. I can't fight this inflammation for you anymore. You're not helping me. I'm doing it all on my own and I can't keep doing this. And that's when our cells break down and they get weak. And when our cells get weak, that's where disease just thrives. Disease, virus, sickness. So it's our duty to keep that inflammation down in our body so that our cells can stay strong so we can fight off things. Little things from colds and flus to large things like cancer. It's inflammation is where it all begins. So, and I learned through the school, there are so many foods that we can eat that will decrease the inflammation. But more importantly, there's a few food categories that rapidly increase the inflammation in our body. And so that's what I try to teach people in my business is how to control that inflammation in your body.
Okay. Can you give me an example of maybe one that's good for bringing down inflammation and one that aggravates it?
Absolutely. So let's start with the bad. I always like to end with a good. So the foods, like the two most popular, in my opinion, the largest foods that cause inflammation are dairy, gluten, and sugar. And when I say sugar, I'm not talking about fruits. I'm talking about white refined sugar, processed sugar, whether it's in the cakes and the cookies and the chips and the marinara sauces and all of that processed sugar is what I'm talking about. And then dairy, sadly, is extremely inflammatory. And here's why. So here we have this cute calf, right? And his mom is feeding him to grow into a one-ton animal, right? Well, we're a human being. Our average weight is about 180 pounds. We are not meant to consume this liquid on a daily basis. Our body is not meant to handle it. I'm not saying we can't ever have a piece of cheese or we can't ever have a little milk in a recipe, but when we're eating it every single day, 2 to 3 times a day, it really takes a toll on our body. So dairy is probably my number one soapbox when it comes to inflammation, just because a lot of people don't realize that it's pretty tough on the body to consume.
Okay. So that's one of the more aggravating ones. What's something that's good for bringing that inflammation down?
Sure. So you want to like anything that's loaded with antioxidants. So any leafy greens, berries are loaded with antioxidants, coconuts, pretty much vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, and legumes are going to be excellent to help reduce inflammation. And then I'm not opposed to meat at all. I'm not a vegetarian. I don't preach veganism or anything like that. I just think that we should limit how much animal protein we eat because it's hard for our body to process. But fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and legumes are loaded with antioxidants. And antioxidants help build those healthy cells and they actually help lower inflammation.
Okay. So as you're learning about this, obviously, you know, on one level, the way you're working this into your life, I'm assuming, is by eating more of one thing and cutting out more of another. But talk me a little bit more about how you incorporated this into your life and the kinds of changes that you saw for yourself.
Yeah. So I had to start with self, right? Because if that's why I do what I do, because I want, when I saw the positive results of just doing small changes, I'm not talking about cleaning out your pantry and buying weird ingredients and going all granola on me. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about making these really small changes. Like, so the very first thing I did halfway through school, I gave up dairy. I just wanted to see how I felt because they kept talking about real common symptoms that a lot of people have with dairy when dairy is just wreaking havoc on your body. And so I eliminated dairy for 3 weeks and I'm going to be straight up honest with you. The first 3 days was awful. Mm-hmm. Like I've never been a drug addict and I've never done drugs, but I was pacing my kitchen. I was opening my refrigerator door. It was like I was having withdrawals and I had no idea that I was eating and consuming that much dairy. Yeah. So fast forward 3 weeks later, I had all these little tiny symptoms go away. For example, my joints started feeling better. My headaches went away. I had been taking 2 to 4 Advil a day for a decade because of my dull headaches. And I thought I would just got headaches. And so things like adult acne started clearing up, like around my chin. I didn't have major acne, but I would always have 1 or 2 blemishes. Those went away. My brain fog went away. My fatigue, like, you know, midday fatigue, when you get in that 2 or 3 o'clock slump where you're like, ooh, I need a snack, or, oh, mm-hmm. I'm tired of working. All of that went away. So that's when the light bulb went off for me. I was like, if I can have these little things go away that I didn't really even realize I was dealing with, I'm onto something. So then the next thing I did was white refined sugar. That was hell. Yeah, I don't recommend doing those at the same time. But yeah, I just did baby steps. And so that's when I realized, you know, this doesn't have to be an all or nothing. This doesn't have to be a clean sweep. You can do very small things at a time to have a sustainable life. And I don't feel deprived. You know, I still eat sweet treats at parties, and I still have the cheese on pizza when I go to someone's house and they order pizza. It's just about finding that balance of what works for everyone. And that's different for everybody.
That was actually connected to my next thing, is whether this was a cut it out forever, or it was occasionally you can have this, but not nearly to the extent that especially U.S. American food is full of this stuff.
It's full of it. And so that is something I pride myself in, is teaching people, you know, eliminate some things in the beginning and see how you feel. And then once you get into a habit and you create a lifestyle and you know what your body can handle and what it can't, then it's fine. You know, eat a piece of cake at the birthday party. It is okay. Have a beer on Super Bowl Sunday. It's okay. You just don't want to, you want your good to outweigh your bad. If you've got a ratio where you're at least 65% eating good versus 35% eating not so good, then you're winning, in my opinion.
Yeah. As you kind of, like, it sounds like you kind of took the lead on this healthy eating with your husband's health. What was maybe some of the more challenging pieces for him?
His cholesterol was probably his biggest challenge, because it is hereditary and you either have it or you don't. I've learned in the last 3 or 4 years that the cholesterol numbers that you get in your typical blood work are not so important as they thought they used to be. Hmm. So we're actually working on that now. He's still taking his medicine because he's scared. I get it. He almost died. So it is my mission, my secret mission. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. It's my secret mission to get him off that. Those statins are just not, they do more harm than good. And we'll get there. It's been 6 years. And so that's our next mission, is to get him off the statins. But yeah, he was very open to changing his diet. When you almost die, it's amazing how things change. Not only did we change our food, but we changed our whole outlook on life. We don't sweat the small things anymore. We don't argue. We don't let those small things get to us. We appreciate every day. We soak in Mother Nature. We travel. We don't spend a lot of time on our phones in the evenings. Like, just the little things. It changed our whole life. And I just want to prevent something like this from happening to someone else that is preventable.
Yeah. Okay. So let me talk about the extra effort and cost that might go into trying to eat like this, because as we said, so much of American food, especially quick, easy, cheap American food, is full of sugar and so much cheese. And so talk to me a little bit about how you work on making this feasible for the majority of maybe families or people.
I love that, because my whole purpose is to encourage people to just spend a little bit more time in the kitchen. And so all of my recipes and all of my classes and all of my virtual classes and stuff, they all show you easy and simple and quick ways to make recipes that are not only delicious, have few ingredients, but are also not time consuming. Cause that's my number one reason. So my mission is to help people save time in the kitchen. All my recipes are less than 25 minutes. And I just want to show people, you don't have to have 30 ingredients to make something. All the ingredients are simple. You can buy them at your everyday grocery store. So you're not going to 6 grocery stores to make one recipe. So yeah, that is a challenge. And that's my mission. I'm up for the challenge to squash that and show people that overly processed food might be quick, but it's going to do a lot of harm in the long run. And so I just want to open people's eyes to reading food labels and understanding what's in the food, and trying not to eat all those chemicals and just keep it basic. The less ingredients something has, the better, which is also doesn't mean it's going to take a long time to cook.
Yeah. Okay. So to give kind of an overall a view of what this might look like practically, could you give me like an example? You know, obviously this isn't a, you know, this is what everybody should be eating every time, but give me an example of like throughout the course of a typical day, what might your meals look like?
Oh, I love that. So breakfast is my favorite meal. I think it's the most important. I'm not saying that because they told us that in the 80s on a, you know, Saturday morning cartoon. Like it legit sets the tone for the day, and it tells your body how to act. It tells your body how to metabolize. It tells your body how to sustain your energy. So I think breakfast is super important. And I'll just tell you what we typically have. And it's easy and quick, but we'll either do like avocado toast with some tomatoes on it. I'll put some like flaxseed in the avocado to kind of give it some more protein. We'll do any type of egg. We love eggs. Mm. They're loaded with vitamin D, and we need vitamin D right now, especially to keep those immune systems strong. So we eat a lot of eggs. I do a lot of like chia pudding because it's loaded with protein and antioxidants, and it's anti-inflammatory. I put anything that we have for breakfast that's somewhat sweet. I put cinnamon in it because cinnamon is extremely anti-inflammatory. So if I'm doing chia pudding, you do have to let your, by the way, if you may not know this, but you need to let your chia seeds soak for at least 30 minutes in whatever recipe you put them in, whether it's a smoothie or whatever you're putting them in, because they're real nutrient dense, but they're also dense seeds. So they have to relax. So if you're putting them in a smoothie, make the smoothie, stick it in the fridge for 20 minutes, go take a shower, and then come out and drink it. And that will give the chia seeds time to relax so you can absorb all those amazing nutritional benefits. But yeah, we'll do chia pudding, flax pudding, oatmeal. I do a lot of homemade oatmeal. It takes 3 minutes. What else do we, and then lunch, snacks. I do a lot of like trail mixes. I make them myself because I batch them. I'll make them batch 2 weeks in advance, and we'll just eat on it all week. We eat boiled eggs for snacks. We do a lot of sauces, dips, and spreads are my jam. I love making them because that's what the flavor is. And so you don't get bored. So we'll dip all kinds of things in my homemade sauces and dips, and I batch those as well. They're usually less than 5 ingredients, and then I just keep them in the freezer. And so we'll go, you know, from like an avocado spread to a beet dip or a vinaigrette. And then we dip like little chicken pieces in it because my husband loves to eat protein. He works out a lot. We'll do an avocado dip. And then for lunch, we typically do leftovers because whatever I make for dinner, we'll usually eat on it throughout the week. And I usually just keep it basic with dinners. I don't want to spend a lot of time in the kitchen at night. I cook for a living. So the last thing I want to do is cook till 8 o'clock.
For sure.
We do a lot of one bowl dinners. So we'll like do a base of like quinoa or spinach, and then we'll top it with a protein, whether that's salmon or shrimp or chicken or ground turkey. And then we usually top it with vegetables and do some type of a sauce, depending on what kind of mood I'm in. I usually do it like themed by ethnicity. So I'll do a Mexican drizzle or like an Asian flair. I'll do something spicy. I'll do a curry something. So yeah, that's kind of a typical weeknight meal would be for us.
Okay. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. So you started, you learned all this information, and then you started doing career stuff with it. Tell me a little bit about what that next step was like.
Yeah, crazy. So when I told my husband I wanted to go to school, he's like, no. I mean, just to spend the kind of money to just help us get better. Like he basically said, let's just stick with Google. But then I just sat still and I listened. A lot of times, you know, we don't shut up enough in our brain to just sit still and be. It's called meditation, I guess. And I did a lot of that. And then it just came to me. It's like, this is so fun for you and you aren't with a job right now. Why don't you make this a job? And so I justified it so I could go to school. And then I thought, well, heck, and I love this so much. And then when I decided to do the second school, then I just decided this is so fun. And I have such a passion and I love people and I love helping people. And it was a perfect storm. So that's how I kind of got into it. It was him saying no, because we're not spending the money just to help us. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to ask around this question. So the the health and wellness industry is so big right now.
There are
everywhere you look, there's a new diet and a new book and a new packet of essential oils to sell you. And, so I'd love to hear how you feel like you may fit in or compare. How are you in this industry, and what is kind of your view of where people are taking this and how people are responding to this as a whole?
I love that. People ask me all the time if I want to sell something. I get DMs daily. And I'm very strong in my answer of no, respectfully. I don't want to sell a product. I want to sell my knowledge, my personality, my passion for other people. And so I think that's what sets me apart, because I keep the emotional side to eating healthy involved. Registered dietitians are wonderful. We need them. They are a plethora of knowledge, and they have a big degree to show that. And they should be proud of that. But oftentimes I had found through experiences of working with my clients is when they are working with dietitians as a whole, I'm not talking about one specific one, so I don't want dietitians to attack me. They lack the personal connection. It's very science driven. And so people don't connect to science. They connect to emotion. And that's how we eat. We eat with emotion. We love to eat. Who doesn't love to talk about food? So I try to keep that in it, because that's where the change happens. When you can emotionally connect with food and it still be healthy, and you don't have to empty your pantry and make complicated recipes and spend 4 hours a day in the kitchen, that's where I set myself apart. I tried to teach time-saving tips, doable, because we are all very busy and we all have lives. But I also try to encourage people that health does need to come first, because if our health is not a first priority, the other priorities don't happen. We don't get to take care of our children. We don't get to go to school. We don't get to do our job if our health is not first. So does it take a little bit more time? Yes. Does it have to consume us? No. So I feel like I've set myself apart in showing the balance between healthy eating and fad diets and science of the food. And just, I want to erase everything and just get back to eat real whole foods. That's it. Read your food label. Eat more good food than bad food. Watch your sugar intake. There you have it. You're winning. Drink more water. Get your sleep. It can be that simple. So I think that's what sets me up. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. That was okay. I think that makes total sense.
Yeah, when we put a bunch of labels on diets and we have all these rules and restrictions and counting and and 2 years later, bam, there's another one. Oh, this one's better. This one's better. And so people ask me all the time, how do you feel about X diet? How do you feel about X diet? And I just tell people, I'm not going to give you my opinion on it. I'm just letting you know I don't choose it for me. And here's why. So yeah, I'm not opposed to those. I just, I opt out for the simpler way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Opt in for the simpler way.
Yeah. So a lot of times I know people trying to make changes like this for their entire family. You were training this for you and your husband. Did you have kids at the time when you started making that change?
No. So our boys were at home when he had the heart attack, but okay. Our youngest was a senior in high school.
Okay. So you didn't.
Yeah, he was a senior in high school. Right.
With like 10-year-old picky eaters.
I did not. I absolutely did not. And you know, I could talk. That's a whole podcast in itself. You know, teaching children from day one about fruits and vegetables and not giving them the chance to not like it, because when they eat it from the beginning, that's all they know and they love it. So I think society has, and this culture has done such a terrible job at introducing these horrific foods. They're not food. These packaged things to our children at such a young age that they don't even get a chance. They don't even get a chance to not be picky.
Yeah. Since your kids were older when you started this, have you been able to kind of get them on board with this as well?
Oh my goodness.
Still working on doing their own thing.
So our boys are 27, 25, and 24. And I have so many regrets. You know, I don't know if you have children, but once your children are grown, you reflect back. I'm like, golly, if I'd only known than what I knew now. Mm-hmm. But they do. Actually, my boys, they've gotten a lot better at it. Are they great? No. I did a terrible job, and they're having to reverse the damage that I did to them growing up. Which, you know, SpaghettiOs and Hamburger Helper. But we talk about it a lot now.
Yeah. Okay, so this is often not an easy kind of change for people to make. Is there, to be very honest, are there things that you miss, foods that you miss, or or easiness that you miss, convenience that you miss, that every so often you're like, oh, well, I know I'm doing the right thing, but.
You know, I don't miss anything because when I do, I eat it. So for a perfect example, we have a 5-year-old grandson and he was over a couple of weekends ago and he, I didn't prepare anything for breakfast. And my husband said, I said, why don't we go get donuts? And my husband looked at me like I was speaking like another language. And I said, I want a donut. He's like, let's go get a donut. So no, I don't miss anything because I know how good I feel when I eat right. And do I eat right all the time? No. Sometimes I crave Doritos and I go straight to the gas station and I buy Doritos because I know I'm not going to eat Doritos for another 6 months. Exactly. You know, having those every now and then is part of the joy of enjoying life. We have to enjoy it. We have hormones. We get cravings. It's okay. We get stressed. We just need to balance. It's all about the balance.
I think that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
All right. So as this podcast goes out, my question that I ask at the end of everyone is to address the two types of audience members, one who maybe are doing this, maybe are trying to in the middle of changing their way of eating. They know they need to take it more seriously and they don't know quite how to get started. Mm-hmm. Or on the flip side, folks who don't really think about this, who are like, I don't, what was something that you would want them to take away from this? Even if they don't go, you know, even if they don't commit as fully as you have, what is something that they can still take away from this? So somebody who's all in and somebody who's like,
Yeah. So somebody who's all in, keep going. I just encourage them not to get wrapped up in a fad diet. Mm-hmm. And I think I will also want people that if they're all in on like a specific diet, just remember that your body evolves as you age, your atmosphere changes, your job changes, your age changes, your hormones change. So be pliable to changing the way you eat as well over time. A diet may work for a certain amount of time, but just be open-minded to changing that as you age. And then, I do that all the time. I'm always changing the way I eat according to my hormones and my age and my things like that. And then for people who don't even think that it matters or that they just haven't even thought about it, I'm jealous that they feel so good. But I encourage people, even if they don't really care, to do a food journal for a week and just write down exactly what you're eating, like everything to the candy at the doctor's office, just to see what you're eating and how much water you're consuming. And sometimes it's an eye opener. Sometimes that's like, you know, it's kind of like writing a journal on your emotions. If you're honest and you write your emotions for a week, you'd be like, oh my gosh, wow, that's deep. And then same thing with a food journal. And sometimes that inspires people to be like, wow, I ate out 6 times this week and I drank 0 water. Mm-hmm. Like that. So how is my body even working? How are my organs even functioning? So that's what I would probably encourage people if they don't take anything away from this. Maybe I would encourage people drink more water, hydrate. Everything works better when it's lubricated and has water to help it work properly. So
yeah,
did that answer both sides?
Yes, it did.
Awesome.
So as we kind of close out, is there anything that you wanted to make sure and talk about today in this podcast that we didn't get to?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is I kind of touched on it really briefly, but read your food label. The power of the food is in the ingredient list, not the nutrition facts. It's not so important to count calories and carbs when there's different types of calories and carbs. It's what's important is to read the ingredient list and make sure you recognize all the ingredients that are in that food, especially the first 5 ingredients. And if the first 5 includes sugar or a refined oil like canola oil, put it back on the shelf because there's a brand right next to it that has some really whole, real ingredients in it. That's probably would be my biggest takeaway for anybody if they're listening to this.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right. So first of all, thank you so much for being willing to share your information and your experiences with us today.
Yay. Thank you for having me. I could talk about this for days. Thank you for allowing me on your platform to share this information with your listeners.
Yeah, for sure. Before we go, anything that you would like to plug for yourself, your website, your social media, anything you want our listeners to know?
You know, if I sparked any interest in anyone and they just want a new way of thinking when it comes to healthy eating and they want a fun encourager, I have a free masterclass coming up at the end of January. They can sign up at shellycanhelp.com/masterclass. It's 5 days long. It's a live event online on Facebook. But if you don't have Facebook, the recordings are going to be sent in an email. It's just me to kind of encourage people in the new year, simple ways to eat healthy through a 5-day event. So it's free. It's engaging. It's going to be a group event where people will be interacting and posting recipes and things like that. So if anybody wants to be encouraged with healthy eating in 2021, join my masterclass, shellycanhelp.com/masterclass.
Awesome. And I'll make sure and put that link in the description as well for anybody who might be interested in learning more about this.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, once again, thank you so much. And everybody out there, thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week and talking with somebody else completely different about some other completely different topic. If you want to be a guest on a future podcast, you can always email me. My email is whatsitlikethepodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at @podwhatsitlike, and you can fill out a little guest interest form. Tell me what you want to talk about, and I'd love to have you on. I think everybody's got a story to share, and I would love to hear yours. Until then, until next time, have an awesome time.